Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is your host, Reverend Shannon, the Psychic Cowgirl. I want to let you know that my intention with this show is to share information, practical cowgirl wisdom, and tools to aid you on your personal development journey. I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysics. I am an ordained minister with the Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry. I'm also a hypnotherapist, past life regression therapist, and an Akashic record reading practitioner. I'm a natural-born intuitive and psychic. It is genetic. I see and feel energies and connections. I use my talents and education to help clients become more aware of their own patterns, intuition, blocks in their life, and then to tap into energies to create what is their personal dream life. I believe in divine guidance, karma, and that intentions are key to any situation. I do offer clarity and understanding from a soul level perspective when you work with me. At times, a little guidance is all that we require to step into our power and move forward in our lives. You can find out more about me on my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. I also have a Facebook page, Psychic Cowgirl, and I'm on Twitter as the Psychic Cowgirl. Please share any comments or questions through my Facebook page. I do answer the messages, or you could email me, Shannon@psychiccowgirl.com. I look forward to hearing from you all, and let's begin today's show. Hey everybody, welcome to this fine Wednesday morning. It's nice and sunny at my house today, and we've had some rain, not enough yet, but we've had some, so things are looking greener and lusher, and that makes me happy. I need my cows to have grass, and my horses, especially since I have two new horses. They need food. They need to be taken care of. So anyways, being so dependent on the weather, it's a happy time when it rains and a happy time when it's sunny. You know. How is everybody doing? So for the last couple of months, if you've kind of felt me being detached from kind of, you know, my online life and my businesses and things like that, you were definitely correct. I was focusing my energy on a fundraiser we did for our school. So those of you that have listened have, you know, knew about all that, and that it's a small school, so we really depend on our fundraising efforts so that we can have cool after-school programs and things for our kids to make their school experience all the more richer. And I've never done a fundraiser like this before. I took on parent council chair and fundraising president this year for the school, which I'd also never done before. But I knew I could pull it off because I have great moms that I work with. They make it easier for me to do what I need to do. Now, when I took this position on, I had no idea that I'd be fighting with the school division about the school bus thing and other things that went on in my world that threw me a lot of curveballs and took a lot of energy. And plus the fact that I'm manifesting a big move for my family. So it's been an interesting year, and I always count my year starting in September because of school, and I mean, it's my lifestyle, right? So, wow, it's been interesting to say the least. Tons of crazy things have happened. Lots of chaos, lots of turmoil, lots of challenges that I could not have anticipated. But here's the cool part. I've worked hard on myself, mostly to understand myself and to be able to handle my life with grace, which has been my goal. That doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. It means that I can roll with it without doing things I will regret, I guess is a good way to put it. Because, you know, we've all done it, right? In the past, someone betrayed you and you, you know, flipped out, or you, you know, talked about them behind their back, or tried to get revenge, let's say. That is what you did. Myself included, absolutely, in the past, because I didn't know any other way to be. I didn't. That was just how we did things, or how I did things. It's just how it went. And I didn't like the feeling I got after, that I wish, you know, that when you're in that regret and you say to yourself, I wish I would have handled that differently. I wish I could have been more graceful. I wish I could have been more compassionate. I wish I understood where they were coming from. I wish we could have had better communication. All those things, right? And perhaps at that time, it was just absolutely not even possible. Because let's face it, unless we're sociopaths, we do the best we can with what we know. Sociopaths is a whole other topic. From the majority of us, we're simply doing the best we can with what we know. We're not deliberately trying to hurt somebody. We're not setting the intention, oh, I think today would be a fun day to mess up that person's life. For the most part, we are not sociopaths and we don't do that. But we do have reactions. We do feel betrayed, and then we want to get revenge. It's kind of human nature. But if we can dial ourselves back from that or decide not to do the revenge thing, it does make life a little more graceful and peaceful. Because wanting revenge can be, you know, a never-ending karmic cycle, right? You get revenge on them, maybe they want to get revenge on you after. Can get complicated, right? So let's just take a moment and think. When have I reacted that way in my life? Okay, now let's think. Could I have handled it differently? Do I really wish I would have handled it differently? That's how you feel, then that means you are ready for a change. You are ready to learn a different way of handling things so that you can be more graceful. You can be more in integrity with yourself. The key is to understand yourself, right? Understand who you are. Understand how you react, right? A good example I have of that is, so it was a golf tournament we put on, and my co-chair was fabulous, and there came a circumstance where we had to deal with a gentleman. He was part of the, I'm trying to say this all really nicely without naming names or being too sarcastic, because I want to be sarcastic about it. And maybe I just will. I've let the higher-ups in the situation know how I felt about what happened. Anyway, so we had to deal with this gentleman to get some pieces of this fundraiser going with the golf course we were working with. And when we first met him, he was great. He had ideas. A lot of them wouldn't work because we know our community. And he came from a very much larger community. And things he had put on a fundraiser before, and things are just different, right? When you have a bigger pool of people to draw from and money available, it's just different. We know our people. We know our community. We know what works, what doesn't, because we've been doing this. This is our 7th golf tournament, not my 7th, but, you know, the team of people, and it's switched and changed and evolved and grown, and some people are back and some people are not. Over the years, people need breaks. And so we knew what we were doing, but we listened politely thanked him for his info, and carried on. And we had given him a list of questions we needed answered. He did not get back to us. We had to keep asking. Yet when he had a question for us, we each got a phone call, plus the school got a phone call looking for us. Extremely impatient when he needed something answered, yet totally dropped the ball on getting our questions answered, and totally dropped the ball on an important aspect of our day. Now, here's how this went down. So we had told him that he had to line up a certain number of golf carts for sponsors who were our premium sponsors who paid extra, got a golf cart included with their what they gave us in the initial, right? The people that just bought golf and dinner had to get their own carts. So we needed a certain number of carts set aside for these teams. He knew that. We had told him that. The weekend before the tournament, I totally submersed myself in the details because other people are busy, and I know that. And I just decided I was clearing my schedule, and I was going to make sure that I could get everything done if other people couldn't help me. If they could, great. I delegated. If they couldn't, I was prepared because I wanted this to be a success. So the weekend before, I actually went to visit my mom and shop for ranches and enjoy the mountains because I really, really wanted to recharge my energy because I felt myself getting impatient with people and wanting to snap when, again, everybody's doing the best they can with what they know, right? It was the best thing I did. Some things cropped up, but other people took care of it because they can. I'm not the only person that can take care of these details. Absolutely far from it. Other people are more than capable. And so I refreshed my energy, I recharged, I came back. But the night before I came back, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and realized we had not triple confirmed those golf carts. Now, I wanted to send an email right then and there, but I figured that was probably not the best plan. So I waited till morning and sent an email, and I was right. Yikes. Now, in my dealings after our first initial conversation with this gentleman, he was a little abrupt, could be called arrogant, kind of condescending, like we didn't have a clue what we were doing and he knew best. But, dude, you're the one that dropped the ball, not us. We told you it was on your list, along with all those other questions that you didn't bother to answer and we had to track you down for. We should have known, though. We should have known that we had to triple check. But we slipped through the cracks. But what was interesting was his reaction. His reaction was cranky, fighty. It was our fault that that got missed, not his. And I know myself. I don't deal with that well, whether it's male or female, but especially male. And my philosophy is own up to your mistakes and move on. Let's fix it. It really doesn't matter whose fault it is, whether it's his, whether it's ours. Let's just fix it. That's my philosophy. And that's not his. Really not his. And so I knew him and I would clash. And so I said to my co-chair, can you take care of this? Because I won't be as nice to him as you will be. She did, and it worked. Now let's you know, dissect this energetically a little. I could do that because I know myself. I know myself. I know I would have fought with him. And really, what good would that do? Right? What good would that do? It wouldn't have. And so to delegate that to someone that I knew would not fight with him and could handle it with more grace than I was capable of, I mean, I probably could have, but probably not. That is knowing myself and how I react to things. It's really, really key in understanding situations, right? Knowing that I would probably make things worse, I stepped back. Could I have taken care of it and got the results we wanted? Absolutely, without a doubt. Would it have been sticky and uncomfortable and maybe created a little bit of animosity between me and that gentleman? Absolutely, without a doubt, right? So is it worth it? No. No. Because my goal, along with my team of amazing people that are helping, was to raise money for the school. So letting my ego get involved and have a fight with someone because he didn't do his job that I expected him to do does not support that goal. It could actually derail that goal. That's what you have to look at. Look at the bigger picture. If you know that you'll react a certain way, do what you can to change it. Now, here's what else I could have done in that situation. If my co-chair wouldn't have been available to take care of it, here's what I would have done. I would have sat down and I would have done the soul-to-soul letter from my website where I write a letter to a situation so I can let it go. And I would have wrote down all the things I thought about him, how upset I was, how it made me feel, how it was affecting our tournament, how I was going to have to deal with people if this didn't get resolved. I would have wrote all of it down, burnt it to let it go, and then I would have went and had an in-person conversation with him and said, how are we going to fix this? And if that wouldn't have worked, I would have went to his boss and said, how can we fix this? Now, that's a lot more steps than just having someone else who's able and capable and better at it than myself do it. But it is always an option, right? There's options for you to handle things differently. Had to deal with him after. Yeah, there was such a contrast because we were also dealing with this other lady, and she was amazing. She, you know, even if she couldn't answer our questions right away, she made you feel like she was listening and would get to it when she could. Even when we had to follow up with her, it's just her attitude was so much nicer. And there was a mistake. They overcharged us, and I knew that was coming when I was setting it up, and then I forgot on the day because it was so crazy busy, and, you know, crowds being an empath, it can be tricky. And I did. I completely missed that they overcharged us for our meals. But I also knew nothing is unfixable. So when I noticed it the next day, I just simply called her and said, hey, this is the scoop. I also had made sure I had everything in writing because when they sent me the initial quotes, I was not absolutely 1,000% crystal clear on what they were saying, and I didn't want it to be a phone conversation because I've learned in my dealings in business, if it's not in writing, it might not have happened, right? And so I had an email stating exactly what I needed to know, and when I phoned her and said, you charged us this, it was supposed to be this, I said, I have that email stating that. Now, I'm sure they would have taken care of it had I not had the email, but having the email really made it a quicker process, and they just simply wrote us a check for the difference, and I went the next day to get it, and there were things that hadn't been picked up that night because they were short of golf carts. Wonder why. And us as the committee did not get a golf cart, and normally we do, and then we go pick up our signs and, you know, the funky putter we used or the scoop or whatever, you know, things we used to make it fun and entertaining. But because we didn't have that, it got missed. And I had to speak to that gentleman again, and he was yelling at me saying, you know, you should have told me. I'm the one that takes care of all this. And we're like, well, we told this other lady. She said she'd take care of it. Well, that's not me, and blah, 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 I was here. It's like, whoa, dude. Whoa. Whoa. This reaction is not appropriate behavior. Just fix it or tell us that you can't. I'm still waiting. It's been over a week, and he still hasn't. Oh, no, maybe it's only been a week, a few days. Anyways, time means nothing to me lately. It's so weird. And I have not heard from him. We're still missing two signs and a funky putter. Will we get him back? Maybe not. But it's okay. We raised enough money. We can make new signs for next year. But it was really interesting to me from a metaphysical, spiritual perspective to notice how I reacted to certain things, to notice how I reacted to situations and people, and to make choices with awareness. on how I was going to handle things. Also working with someone else, not for this part of it, but with other parts of the parent council fundraising thing, who loves to do things last minute. That's just how this person rolls. I find that incredibly frustrating because my world is so designed right now that if I leave things to the last minute, they just might not get done. You know, I have livestock and stuff. If I leave things to the last minute and my cows get out, they take priority. So it's really helped my time management. Yeah. Nancy, if you're listening to this, remember when I used to work for you and my time management skills sucked? You'll be happy to know that they're vastly improved. I was thinking about that this morning. I need to call her later and we'll giggle. And so now I know how she felt because I was a last-minuter. But dealing with this last-minute thing, I had to really evaluate my expectations because it drives me crazy, seriously, because I can't do things last minute. I don't have that kind of time because I have to be so flexible in my world, right? Because if I leave everything to last minute and then a client calls in crisis, sorry, that gets priority. Your stuff might not get done, and I do not like letting people down. That's one of my things. If I can help it, it really bothers me to let people down if they're expecting something of me. So at least I do walk my talk, right? If someone expects me to do something, I try to get it done in a timely fashion for them. But dealing with someone who's a last minute and kind of leaves things to the last minute, my expectations, because of the way I would do things, are vastly different. That created conflicts. And also because some of the things, leaving them to last minute, could have been detrimental. Could have been. And even though I offered to help and step in, I was told no thank you. Not always no thank you. Usually I just got ignored, which I took as a no thank you. And it's been hard. I mean, with everything else that went on this year, that has been one of my biggest challenges. Just trying to not be cranky about it. Because we're all volunteers. We're all doing the best that we can. But you know what else I found myself doing, which I think is a little bit detrimental to myself, and I think I need to stop it. Making excuses for other people's bad behavior. Coming up with reasons why they're doing what they're doing so that you can excuse them. Now, sometimes that is appropriate, but if it's a consistent thing and you're trying, it depends on why you're trying to come up with excuses. My reason is I really want to like her and to be able to be positive about the whole experience. And if this is going on in her world and this is going on, that's why she couldn't get this done or that's why she's not doing this, it makes it easier for me to swallow. If she just is being petty, cranky, and doesn't feel like it, that's a little bit harder for me to swallow, simply because I wouldn't do that. So we have to ask ourselves, is it beneficial to us to make excuses for someone else? Or do we have to simply accept that maybe it's just simply bad behavior and that was their choice? Nothing we can do about it, nothing we can change, but we do get to choose if we want to move forward and work with them on projects in the future. Maybe it's a yes, maybe it's a no. Your choice, it's always your choice. Yes, I got frustrated a lot, but I don't hold it personally against this person. And I didn't take, well, mostly sometimes it felt personal. I tried not to take what was happening personally against me. That is tricky because it does feel personal when you're so emotionally invested in a cause. But chances are they don't even think of it that way. Chances are they don't see it in that light. Or maybe they do. Second guessing, doubting, making excuses, you have to just examine why you're doing it. It's not that it's a wrong thing to do. It might completely fit the situation, but you'll get to know yourself a little better if you figure out why you're doing that. Is it because you believe that you are the bad person? Or do you believe that you're, if someone isn't doing something you expect them to do, do you believe it's your fault? Do you believe maybe you weren't clear? Do you believe that they just simply don't like you and they're not going to do it for you? Do you believe that you should have done something more to help the situation? Because we can get caught in that pattern of belief, right? That everything's always our fault. This sense of responsibility can become huge and kind of take over. I know for myself, I have to be aware of that a lot. I want to fix everything. I've offered help to this one person numerous times. I want to fix it. I want to help. I want to make sure everything's okay and better. But is it any of my business? No, it's not, actually, and they've made that clear. Yet I still want to help. Who am I trying to help? Am I really trying to help them, or am I trying to help to make my world easier? And chances are it's both, right? It's both. But what are your motives? I've had to look at myself a lot. I had huge lessons on dealing with the school division and that school bus fiasco. Oh, seriously, I can't say this enough. It is such a relief to put my children on the bus and not have to worry. I just don't have to worry. The driver's fantastic. It's his bus. I know it's well taken care of. Because if not, I'll tell his wife. You know, I have recourse. It's such a relief. But I got big lessons on dealing with difficult situations because freaking out, yelling and screaming would not have got any of us anywhere. Because when it first happened, some of the parents did. Really, it didn't get us anywhere, nowhere. And I was like a bulldog. When I have a cause that I believe in, I fully immerse my energy in. Unfortunately, my clients take a back seat during those periods. But I had to do what was priority for me. And was it a challenge? Absolutely. Did I do it, though? Yes. Can I look back and say that I handled it gracefully? Yeah, I can, actually. I could walk into a meeting with any of those people and not feel embarrassed or not feel ashamed or not feel regret for anything I've said to them. Part of it was because I listened. I listened every time they told me things, and then I threw it back at them when appropriate. Well, you said this. Why isn't that happening? But the whole time I did it calmly. Oh, don't think I wasn't upset and had to take a couple of days, two, three, to calm down and be able to approach it from a better space? Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. If something gets you completely riled up, take a step back. Take a cooling off period so that when you go to discuss it, you're not reacting from that emotional, upset space. You're reacting from a space that just wants the problem solved. It makes a huge difference because as soon as you are reactionary, the other person will be reactionary. And I've learned this the hard way. So now, like when that certain person with the golf course was yelling and freaking out about stuff, I didn't yell and freak out back. I'm like calm, like, well, we did do that. Well, we did tell somebody. Well, we didn't see you. Well, normally we get our golf cart so we take care of it ourselves. It got missed on our part. Let's just fix it. It would have been easy to yell back at him. Easy and kind of appropriate in the circumstances. I'm a Leo and I'm fiery. And so it has been easy for me, and it is still, to fight back and to freak people out because when I get really mad, my eyes change color. Yeah. Been called a witch a time or two because of that. When I get really emotional and fiery, and it is easy for me to go there. But I've learned that if I truly want to accomplish something or I just simply want results, going there that way is not nearly as effective. but it's taken a long time. But my point is, you can get there. Absolutely. If I can get there, you can get there, believe me. One of the things is, you know, adjusting your expectations of how it has to go, how it should go. Because there's always more than one way to solve a problem. Always. But if you are attached to only one way and it doesn't get solved that way, you're going to fight it because you don't understand. That's something else that got me into trouble this last year. I ask a lot of questions if I don't understand something. Doesn't always land well, because I found that when you ask questions because you don't understand, it doesn't always translate to the other person that that's why you're asking the questions. They may feel that you're holding them accountable. Well, I kind of am. I'm holding them accountable to explain it to me because I don't understand what they're doing. It's not crystal clear. Cause some chaos, cause some turmoil, especially with the school division when I ask questions, well, why does it go this way? Why do you do it that way? They didn't like to be questioned. And I often wonder if that happens when people don't really know the answers why. Instead of saying, it's just the way it's done, let me get back to you, I'm not sure, they get a little bit bristly and defensive and say, just say something. Sometimes I feel like it's just to say something to shut me up, which I always know. Being empathic, intuitive, and so psychic, I do know when people lie to me. I do know when they're not telling the absolute truth. There's an energetic signature to it. I've also come to know people's tells when they're lying. Did you know you have a tell when you lie? What's one of the body language things that if you scratch your nose or rub your nose or something, except for an allergy season, I don't know if that would really apply because I do rub my nose more in allergy season and I'm not lying. There's an energetic tell. If you know the person well enough and know to listen for it. That is one of the reasons I wasn't sure I should take on this position of leadership, because I do know when people are lying. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, they just don't know any better. Dodging the truth, lying, blustering, answering another question, deflecting, distracting, has become the norm in our society when we don't know what to say. Or we don't want to answer something. I've learned over the years not to take it personally. It's more about their belief systems than mine. Do I find it frustrating? Yes. Yes. So I try not to put myself in those situations. But I did this last year. And I have to say, I don't regret it. It was interesting. I got a lot of valuable information on human nature, how things work in our world, where I want to take a stand, where I don't. It's been completely fascinating. I got to see and experience myself in new ways. I mean, I didn't handle everything gracefully. Don't get me wrong, please. I'm far from perfect. Yeah, not even close. I'm not a guru. I'm just as messy as everybody else. The thing is, when I need to vent about people and situations, I know who to trust. I'm also able to, when people are venting to me, to see the bigger picture and also keep their secrets. I have to be a good secret keeper because I know things about people that they wish I didn't. But it's all there in energy, people. It's all energy. We're all connected. Anybody could do it. And really, your secrets aren't nearly as horrendous as you think they are. It's just not. And so it's been interesting. Very interesting. And it was really enlightening to see people work together for a common goal, that even when there was conflicts and, you know, some shenanigans. At the end of the day, everybody pulled together and we got it done. And we get to be proud of that. We get to have bragging rights for that. Putting on an event and having that many people involved is not easy. It's not straightforward. There's a lot of things that happen. And I will not do it again. Not, I won't be in charge again. I say that and then things happen, right? I'm not going to next year, that's for sure. I've already made it very clear I'm resigning from my position and that in September it's going to be fresh new people. And that's the thing, though. They have fresh new ideas. The ladies I worked with had fabulous ideas. We couldn't implement them all. We tried. But until you actually experience the whole event beginning to end, you don't know what's going to work and what's not. And so they have great ideas, and they're going to take this and move it into a new level and do fabulous with it. Everybody's capable, more than capable. And I found that I had to dial back my expectations sometimes because we're all volunteers. All volunteers. And yes, I cleared my schedule, and I cannot complain about that. Did I lose money? Well, for sure, because I couldn't see clients. I couldn't do weddings. But it was my choice. My choice. Nobody made me. But, you know, the saying, energy flows where attention goes, and that was my point. I wanted to focus solely on this and see how it would turn out. And it was great. Really great. The day went smooth. I mean, there was a couple glitches, but nothing that couldn't be handled after or that would resolve itself in time. It was great. Everybody that was on this committee should be so proud. So proud. And I am delighted with the way my year turned out. I mean, even, okay, but let's be realistic. If my event planning was not a success, still a huge learning experience. I would still not call that a failure. I would call that a never don't ever do that again, Shannon, because you suck at it. Definitely go there. But still, it wouldn't ever be considered a failure because the learning you get from it, right? Yeah, crazy. This has been an intense year, again. How can we say that every year, right? Is it going to keep getting more intense? Perhaps. And perhaps one of the points of all of these challenges is to figure out yourself and figure out, you know, how to handle them with grace, love, and ease. I've done it. And again, if I can do it, you all can do it. You can figure out a way to just roll with it. Doesn't mean you don't get upset, angry, blah, blah, blah. What it does mean that you don't lash out and do things you might regret. I don't like calling these tests. I prefer to call them challenges because tests always feel like a pass or fail and it's not that cut and dried. But when you have a challenge and you don't handle it as gracefully or as peacefully or as well as you would have liked to, you do know you'll get another chance, right? We don't always like to hear that because we don't want another chance. We just want it all to go away, but that's not how our world works. Get another chance to do something better, always. Now, I'm just going to keep an eye on the time because I want to do the chakra balancing today. Hey, whoa, I actually got to call into the radio show with no glitches. First time in a long time. I actually got to do the whole show with my phone not cutting out or my computer quitting. Whoa, so glad Mercury retrograde is over. That was a bit crazy. Now it feels like, so now that I've kind of come out of my bubble of focusing on that fundraiser, here's the messages I keep getting. Believe and hope. That our world might be a little bit sideways, a lot chaotic. It also feels like we're tying up a lot of loose ends, as someone put it to me yesterday, and I love that phrase. It feels like we're cleaning up our acts, letting go of things that don't fit. This whole month feels like that. A lot of endings, which makes space for new beginnings in July. I'm still hoping for a move. I don't know if that's going to happen. If it doesn't happen in July, then we'll wait and we'll start again in the spring and try again. Because it's too complicated for me to do it spur of the moment, not with as much livestock as I have. But yeah, June really feels like we're, you know, paying attention to some details to clear them off our plate so they're gone, done, don't have to worry about it. I will say this is my last radio show until September. Next Wednesday is Canada Day, so I'll be out celebrating Canada's birthday with my family. And then I just want to spend the summer with my kids and my husband and all my animals and focus on all of that. So I will take a hiatus from the radio show. What I will do, though, is I will pick some of the popular episodes and I will set them to replay for you so that you don't miss me too much. Maybe you missed some of the past archived ones, and I'll give you an opportunity to experience them again. And let's see, I will still take clients all summer. I do have space for 2 coaching clients if anybody is feeling that they would like to sign up for that and experience that. Hey, I'm proof that it all works. I do walk my talk. I'm not the same person I was a few years ago. I still have my type A tendencies. I like to be organized. That's because if I don't, things fall through the tracks and then I beat myself up over it. But I have learned flexibility. I've learned how to handle situations with more grace. So yes, I can teach you all these things. I can teach you and guide you to understand yourself better, and that's my point. And over the last week, because the first thing I did when everything was done with this golf tournament is I immersed myself in my spirituality stuff, reading articles, catching up on some books, because that makes my soul happy. And again, the message I keep getting over and over and over and over and over is to have hope. Even if things feel despairing, I mean, I know in my world, everybody's, you know, they're worried about the economy still. The price of oil went down. The oil patch is all freaking out. It hasn't rained. All the agriculture people are freaking out. Here's the thing. Have hope. Don't let all those fears drown you. Drown you or derail you. Have hope. Do what you need to do. I know we sold off some of our older cows or calves, you know, that were not having a baby. We had the vet out to preg check simply because we needed to make plans to be able to keep the rest of our herd alive and thriving. And if we have to sell some more because we won't have enough grass to feed them all, we'll do that. Do what you need to do, but don't let the fear become more than you can handle. Right? Don't let it get so much that you're in despair instead of just rolling with it, right? Because look at your life. It's always worked out, always. May not have worked out the way you wanted it, but it's always worked out. I did say to my husband this morning, I said, maybe we're not moving this summer. Maybe it is on hold till next year because of the grass and the hay situation. Because one of our biggest things is we don't want to sell the cows and not have them. If we truly just wanted to move back to southern Alberta, we could do it in a heartbeat by selling off all our cows and just taking our horses and our llama. See, and then we wouldn't have Morty the Highland Steer. We wouldn't have Annabelle the Longhorn. We wouldn't have all our Speckled Park Pretties. But we could. If our goal was simply to move there and be there, we could do it. But our goal is more complicated because we want to move there, be there, but we want to keep the lifestyle parts we love, which is the cows. So I said to him, maybe because of the way the world is right now, we are not moving until next spring when we can have a fresh start and maybe there'll be more hay available. Because the problem, if we moved right now, we don't have the connections. We're not first in line for hay. It would be a lot more challenging. So when it's right, the pieces will all fall together. Patience is the key, which I suck at. I'm not patient. I like to get things done. See how people that do things last minute kind of don't always line up with my energy? But that's okay. It's all a learning experience. Well, my lovelies, I'm going to play our chakra balancing because I really need it. I don't know about all of you. And I'm still delighted there was no technical glitches today. Woohoo! So I'm going to do that and then say goodbye. And maybe I'll do a surprise radio show sometime this summer. I doubt it, though. Things get busy, and I like to spend it with my family. If not, thanks to you all for listening. And I'll be fresh and live in September. And otherwise, enjoy all the archive replays.
This is a meditation to balance and cleanse our chakras. I'd like you to sit up straight, have your feet flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth with those deep, thick roots. Nice breath in and out. Now, imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from each of those roots into the bottom of your feet. Visualize or imagine those balls of light traveling up your leg. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation. Move those balls of light up your leg, through your shin, past your knees, up your thighs, higher, higher. And then both balls of white light are going to join together at your root chakra, at your pelvis. Your root chakra deals with feelings and energies of having the right to be here. The root chakra is symbolized as red. I want you to imagine or visualize a red ball. Symbolism is personal, but I want you to have something that you're focusing on. So if it's a red ball, I want you to start spinning it until it's bright, shiny, shiny red. Right now, it may look cloudy or dirty. It may be really big or it may be really small. I want you to spin this ball of energy until it's shiny, bright, sparkly red. Spinning, spinning. The root chakra deals with energies of money, career, home, needs, and possessions. So it's really important to have this one balanced. I want you to spin it, spin it, spin it until it's bright and shiny. If you are having trouble visualizing or imagining, Archangel Raphael will be there to help you. Archangel Raphael is also going to vacuum away all the cruddy energy that comes off your chakras. So spinning, spinning, spinning. We like to give this one a really good cleanse. Spin it just a smidge more. Fantastic. You are doing great. Okay? Now this one is all shiny clean and it's in your body. Again, there's no way to do this wrong. Now, I want you to move up to your sacral chakra, which is located midway between your pelvis and the base of your spine. This one's an orange ball of light. I want you to spin that one. This is where we have our feelings and emotions. Let's spin that one until it's bright, shiny orange. This is where we are able to set boundaries when we have this one balanced. Feeling joy. Let's really spin that one and give it a nice big cleanse. Spinning, 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 spinning. For all of us that have trouble saying no at times, you can feel why it would be important to have this one balanced. Excellent. Give it a few more spins until it's bright, shiny orange. You guys are doing fabulous. Okay, now that that one feels good, move up again to our solar plexus chakra. This one is the yellow one. This one is where we can make choices. We set our intentions through this one and have our will to do things. It involves self-direction, self-esteem, and the power of transformation. So let's spin this yellow light until it's bright, shiny, and sparkly clean. Spinning, spinning. Nice. Focus on spinning that one a little more. Perfect. I can feel all the energies flying off to be vacuumed away. We're going to feel so good after this. All right. So now that that one's all shiny, let's move up to our heart chakra. This one's green. This one deals with love and I give, I care, forgiveness, generosity. So let's spin this heart chakra until it's shiny green and infused with sparkles. We want to have a pretty heart chakra. And spinning, 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 spinning. Fabulous. Let's keep spinning that one. You're doing great. Spin it some more. Feels like everybody's is nice and sparkly, shiny. Okay, great. Now, if that one's back in place, let's move up to our throat chakra. This one is blue. We're going to spin that ball of light energy until it's shiny. This is the one where we have expression, where we listen, where we can communicate. It's all about using our voice. So let's spin, spin, spin this one. We can communicate clearly. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. If you find that your throat chakra feels out of balance often, grab a sodalite or a lapis lazuli. Those stones will really help with that. I wear them when doing the radio show. It's really, really helpful. Okay, let's spin that one just a little bit more. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now that that one's all clean, let's move up to our third eye chakra located in our foreheads. This one has to do with telepathy, intuition, imagination, visualizing, all that good stuff that you've been doing. So this one is the darker purple color, and we're going to spin it until it's very sparkly. Nice. Keep spinning. Our intuition's located here, so we like to have this one clean so we can get our messages, right? Keep spinning. Excellent. Spinning, spinning. Perfect. Kate, now that it's nice and shiny, clean, deep, deep purple. I see a lot of yours as deep, deep purple. Beautiful. Okay, let's move up to our crown chakra located at the top of our head. Now this one is a pale violet, or you might see it as clear. We're going to spin that ball of light until it's bright, shiny, clean, and sparkly. This is where our psychic and intuitive abilities can be found. Our faith, our connection to the divine, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage. Lots of stuff happened in this crown chakra. So let's spin that one until it's really, really clean. Excellent. Great, you guys have been working on this. This one was pretty clean. Okay, so let's put that one where it's supposed to go. And remember, there's no way to do this wrong. Just the act of listening to my voice and doing this exercise will create the energies and it will happen. It's as simple as that. Let's visualize or imagine that ball of light again, just right above your head. And then you're going to move it down through your face, down through your neck, down through your chest, down through your to your pelvis. That ball of light is going to break into two. And each ball of light is going to go down your thighs, past your knees. You're going to feel refreshed, able to focus. You're going to have a lot of clarity after this meditation. Continue sending that ball of light through past your knees, down your shin, and out the bottoms of your feet, and ground you deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to your body. Meditation is about doing what feels natural to you. You're letting the energy do the work. Takes a little trust, takes a little faith, but if you practice it, you can come back to this meditation anytime and replay it. Have an excellent day. You've been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with your host, myself, Shannon Lackman. If you'd like to learn more about me and what I offer, please go to my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. All my sessions and services are listed there. If you would like to get a deal, tell me that you've listened to the radio show and use the code word, use the code word Raphael, and you will automatically get 20% off, because I will know that you've been listening to the radio show. I wish you all a most excellent day, and I hope you tune in soon.